The following program is recorded content created by the Truth Network.
It's Matt Slick Live. Matt is the founder and president of the Christian Apologetics Research Ministry, found online at carm.org. When you have questions about Bible doctrines, turn to Matt Slick Live for answers. Taking your calls and responding to your questions at 877-207-2276. Here's Matt Slick.
All right, everyone. Welcome to the show. It's me, Matt Slick, and you're listening to Matt Slick Live. And if you want to give me a call, as usual, all you have to do is dial 877-207-2276. And we have nobody waiting right now, so give me a call if you want. Now, I got a little bit of an update on something. I just found out right before the show here that, today's Tuesday, that's right, that YouTube has now, banned my ability to stream on YouTube. And so this show isn't going out to the regular Carm site. Now you can go to Matt Slick, YouTube Matt Slick. And the reason is because, apparently, I've given some inappropriate information. Now, they don't say what information was inappropriate. Since I've talked about COVID, that's what they're doing. The Gestapo at the headquarters. They don't like conservatives talking about COVID. They don't like conservatives talking about a lot of stuff. And so they've penalized me now for the second time. Now, we're moving to another platform, and we'll be giving that information later. And I've been downloading videos left and right. But I do a Patreon thing. If you want to support me, Patreon / Matt Slick. Patreon, Patreon.com. And so I was downloading some Patreon videos because they go to a private area or an unlisted area on YouTube. And I discovered that they banned one of my Patreon videos where I just summarized what was happening in the month of September and how I mentioned COVID and things like this. And they took that down. So now I'm penalized. Now, we've got a guy who, this happens a lot over the years. We have somebody who gets incredibly self-righteous and will start attacking me. Usually it's the ladies. I don't know why, but usually it's the ladies. And we've got one guy, however, who did a five-hour video on why I'm not a Christian. And we've got a lot of ladies, and they don't have all their paws in a litter box, who will then attach themselves to me and try and correct me in every detail. And even when I try and make something right, they say my motives are evil. You know, it just gets ridiculous. We got another guy now, and he is now reporting me to, you know, the powers that be. He's a brown shirt. And, you know, and I asked him in an email, I said, what's your qualification for saying that I'm wrong? He goes, what's yours? And so he doesn't care. He just doesn't like anything I have to say. And now we've got another guy going. So, you know, if you want, you can pray for this guy and precatorily. And if you know what that means. So, yeah, I'm getting punished again for speaking about the jab, for speaking about the death prick, for speaking about the shot and various things. And people more and more all over the web are having to use other names for you know, that thing. And so I'm going to have to start doing the same thing. And, you know, it's really interesting because what I like to see is hypocrisy. It's so clear. Because what YouTube and what Twitter have done and other venues have done is allow liberals to say all kinds of harmful things, but when the conservatives come out with facts, no, the conservatives are not allowed to have their voice. So I'll be moving away from YouTube, I'll be moving away from Twitter, I'll be moving away from other stuff, gradually getting into other venues where they actually believe in the Constitution and they believe that you have the right to your opinion and it's okay to say it. But there are private groups that say, nope, you don't have the right to say what we don't want you to say. And it's conservative values and issues about the jab. And so I will be letting you know more about that. If you want to give me a call, 4 open lines, 877-207-2276. Now, just so you know, when I got to tell you a little bit of background so this will make sense. I moved 26 times before I was 12 years old. I was very, very skinny. And I was a rare male who had anorexia for years. It took years and years to break it. It really did. I had to go see, you know, get some help with it and everything. And it actually stunted my growth. I'm 6 feet tall. I would have been 6'2 to 6'4, 6'6 range. But at any rate, so this is all serious. Well, anyway, So I learned to be independent, and I learned not to to like bullies. And when I come across bullies, oh, it just gets my ire up. And YouTube is a bully, and Facebook is bullying, because now people on Facebook are having to say the same thing, the jab and whatever it is, because you get penalized if you talk about things and exchange information, even if it's from doctors who are saying, we see an increase in cancer rates with the jab. We see people getting sick, and there's a rate of increase of deaths associated with it, with the jab. And not that everyone's going to, you know, die. It's not that. It's just that they see an increase. And you're not allowed to say that. Why? Why is it? Why are you not allowed to say things like that? Oh, man, I'm telling you. What is going on in our country? Something's going on, and I'll be writing about it and my opinions on things. So there you go. You know, and when I meet bullies, it motivates me to fight back. It always has. And so I fight back against bullies. I don't like bullies. I don't like them. And I resist them, and that's just the way I am, because I've suffered at the hands of bullies for too many years when I was younger, and that's it. So it only motivates me to do even more. And I'm going to be doing even more about the issue of the jab and stuff like that. So anyway, there you go. If you want to give me a call, all you got to do is dial 877-207-2276. Oh, how long do you think it'll be before the federal government says, hey, Matt, you can't be on the radio exercising your free speech because you say things we don't like? How long do you think that might be? Let's get to Carl from South Carolina. Carl, welcome. You're on the air.
Hi, Matt. I got a question. It's related to a research project, and you may have heard about it. It's thinking that they were comparing people who were in prayer and believers in faith, and I can go different faiths, but
right.
They found out when people were in prayer that it activated a portion of their brain that gave them actually pleasure. And you know, I know in scripture there's been verses about how you get this pleasing effect when you're sitting in a prayer talking with God. There's this comfort, and through His Word and through His Holy Spirit, but that was shown on these scans they were doing on people with their brains in prayer versus not. And I got to ask, if they took that study further and broke down people in the sense of Christians, Muslims, Hindus, Buddhists, whatever, and put them in prayer and found, you know, got their data, do you feel that would be testing God in that sense?
Well, no, testing God is not in a system of a microscope per se. It's talking about testing him in his faithfulness. But it could be interpreted that way as well, because what they are trying to do is test his faithfulness. So I guess, yeah. And I've had atheists say similar things. There's noise going on in the background, man. What is that noise?
I'm on a speakerphone in the car.
Oh, okay.
You're all probably right. Hear from this. Yeah.
No, that's okay. And so atheists will say, see, prayer is just a physiological thing. You get pleasure out of it, so therefore it can't be true. And it makes no sense. It just, all they're saying is we recognize that there's a connection between the soul and the physical body. That's all. There's a connection, and we acknowledge that there's a connection.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I'd like to ask, because I brought this question up to a person who was a Buddhist, and I said, yeah, that as a Christian, there was a study, and I didn't say it was just Christian off the study. I just said, yeah, in prayer you get a pleasing effect, and it activates actually portions of your brain. And she was a Buddhist, and she goes, oh, we get pleasure in when we pray. And I thought, oh, and I was going, well, you're a Buddhist. I was thinking, but I thought, and I actually prayed about it, and the Lord was telling me, well, I created this woman's brain, too, just as I created yours. Right. So I'm just wondering, what do you think about something like that?
Well, people are made in God's image, and people get tickled all over the world, and they react similarly, because it's how we're made. So God has certainly made us with different abilities and disabilities, or allowed disabilities to come into us. And so people pray, and they have a sense of feeling of goodness and that's fine. But prayer is only as good as the one to whom you're praying. So if they don't pray, I mean, they're praying to the wrong God, it doesn't make a difference.
On that response to that lady, that Buddhist, do you think that was appropriate response that I gave her? That, well, God created, because, okay.
Yeah, you did fine. No problem.
Okay. Yeah. That's what I was thinking. I just wanted another opinion from a brother in Christ also.
Yeah, you're doing fine. So. Mm-hmm. I wouldn't worry about it.
All right, Matt. Hey, I appreciate your ministry, and keep up the strong work.
Hey, by God's grace. Amen, brother. All right. Okay, that was Carl, and let's get over to Roger from North Carolina. Roger, welcome. You're on the air.
How we doing, Matt?
I'm doing all right. Hanging in there, buddy. What do you got, man?
Good. My question is, can Christian men have long hair?
Yes.
Okay. That's
yeah.
I've heard it back and forth, but...
Yeah, and I know what they're doing. People will say, well, no, it's a disgrace to have long hair. Women should have long hair, not men. Well, you know, let's just look at some extreme examples. You know, you're on a deserted island and you don't cut your hair. Are you now in sin? No. If a woman has cancer and she has cut her hair, is she now in sin because she doesn't have long hair? Well, of course not. So the idea that's going on there in the culture was that women are the ones who had the long hair and men didn't. That's just how it was. However, they were Nazirite vows where they would not cut their hair and it would grow longer. And that was in the Bible and that was approved of. So generally what's happening in the cultural context is it's the cross-dressing ideology that was there. Men had short hair, women had long hair. And if you were to go with long hair, it was in some areas a sign of femininity. Being feminine, and androgyny, and even homosexuality, and so it was no, keep separate, and that was the cultural context, but that's not alive now. Okay.
Would you say the same thing applies to women and head covering?
Yes, because it looks like in Corinthians 11, when it's talking about the culture was that women would sit in the back of a synagogue or a church building, and the men would sit up front. And the women were set free by the word of Christ. And so there's still a cultural norm. They wouldn't sit together like we do in church today. They would sit separated. That's just what they did. And so the women would sometimes speak up in the back of the room and say, "What did he say?" And they had freedom. And they would say things. They got exuberant and said, "Nope, keep quiet. You know, ask your husband at home." And this is what they think was happening, that the men sitting up front, certain wives would say, you know, "Bob, what'd he say?" Or, "Why this? Ask him this." And it was out of order. And so that's what a lot of the commentaries say and think about it. Okay?
I read somewhere, I don't remember where I read it, but where it said the women prostitutes that converted to Christianity. Uh-huh. A lot of them had their head shaved, and that was one of the reasons
to see
for covering their hair. Is that?
I have to see the context for that, because shaving the head in that culture was a sign of punishment, of immorality. Usually prostitutes would let their hair down in public as an advertisement. And so when they were caught, they were shamed, they were shaved, which is really interesting in Luke 7, when the woman came down and let her hair down in the Pharisee's house and kissed Jesus' feet and wiped it with her hair, is profound. Hey, you want to hold? We have a break. Okay. Hold on, folks. We got one open line, 877-207-2276. We'll be right back.
It's Matt Slick Live, taking your calls at 877-207-2276. Here's Matt Slick.
All right, everybody, welcome back. We lost him. Let's get to Buskman. Buskman? From Dayton, Ohio.
Yes.
Yeah, there you go. Welcome. You're on the air.
Well, it is an honor to talk to you, Matt Slick. I have been following your website for, probably the late 90s, I want to say. When I first come to the Lord, I was introduced to your website, and it just you made everything so concise and so digestible. It really helped me to understand the different cults that were around me, JW, LDS, and wow, Matt, thank you, first of all.
Well, you're welcome. Praise God. But I got a question for you. Your voice sounds very familiar. Have we talked before?
Maybe. No, this is the first time. As a matter of fact, I was telling your screener, my friend, that that I did not even know you had a radio program.
Oh, okay.
So we have this new radio station coming out of Toledo, and it's however you call it, repeated here in the Dayton area, and it took over one of our FM stations, 106.5. So thank you, The Truth, for coming to Dayton, because I'm loving all these teaching programs like Matt Slick's. So thank you for that.
Hey, you're welcome. Just, you know, let him know. Stu is the guy who's in the BMOC, Big Man on Campus. And let them know. You know, you really appreciate it, because it's always good.
I will do that, my friend. Yeah,
all right.
I will do that.
Did your
screener brief you? Well,
yeah,
Matt,
I see it. It's basically about advice on witnessing to a Muslim kind of stuff.
Yes, he is such. Oh my goodness, he is such a dear man, Matt.
Mm-hmm.
But he is very devout to Islam.
Okay.
And he and I have had a couple conversations, and he knows my relationship with Christ. And I told your screener, his name's Saeed, if you can write him down, Matt, and pray for him, and all of the listeners, pray for Saeed. Dear man, he is a God lover. I really sense that he is a God lover, but he is a devout Muslim. And this past Sunday, Matt, he handed me 22 pamphlets. Mm-hmm. And he numbered them in sequence that he wants me to read. And he says, Busman, don't take these out of sequence. Read them this one. And he numbers them. He says, and bring these back to me. And I said, I will. I will.
Good.
And
okay.
I did not promise him that I would read them. But my heart says to go ahead and read them, Matt. But when I heard your program, I was like, I've got to call this brother.
Okay. Well, I'd like to see those pamphlets. I wonder if you could send me a set of them. And I've had a lot of debates.
I'll tell you, brother, I got them right here near me. I can give you the publisher. It looks like an
I'll tell you what, you'll have to. I don't want the publisher publicized, lest people go there and get bad info. That's okay. So you can email at info@carm.org.
Okay, yep.
So there are ways to witness to Muslims. And you got to understand something. They're very devoted to their lie. They think what they believe in is true. And Islam provides a set of laws and ordinances that they have to follow. And people like that because they want something tangible in which they can trust. And because people are sinful, they also often believe that they can earn their salvation through their goodness in cooperation with God's mercy, which is what Islam teaches.
Yeah.
And so a surah is a chapter. Ayat is a verse.
Yes.
But in Surah 23:1 through 101, it says, then when the trumpet is blown, there will be no more relationships between them that day, nor will one ask after the other. Then those whose balance of good deeds is heavy, they will retain salvation. But those whose balance is light, they will be those who lost their souls in hell. In hell they will abide. So there's a phrase in Islam, inshallah. And what that means is, if Allah wills. So there's a couple of things you can talk about. And
I've got
my down
pen ready, Matt.
Okay, I say get down to the issue of salvation. And you say, look, you want to be saved from your sins just like I do, right? Yes. What must you do to have your sins forgiven so that your God will get you to heaven, a paradise? Just ask him.
Okay, what must we do?
What do you got to do? Now, what he's going to say is, well, and there's different kinds of Muslims who'll say different kinds of things, but generally it's, well, you got to be good, you got to try this, you got to live for him, be sincere, follow the true God, say the Shahada, which is there's only one God, Muhammad is prophet, and that hopefully, inshallah, if Allah wills, we'll make it. You say, okay, so don't witness him yet. Inshallah. Yeah, if Allah wills, if God wills. And so what he's saying, what Islam teaches is that salvation is not guaranteed unless you die in jihad, in battle for Allah.
Yeah.
And a woman can't be saved unless, I think it's four of her sons die in jihad. This is wow. what Islam teaches. Oh, yeah. Islam is a pagan, ungodly, right. evil religion. And yeah. for the Americans, it has been like Mormonism does, like Jehovah's Witnesses does with their past. It's been catered and whittled down and purified to make it look better and better, even though its history sure. is pretty bad. This is what happens sure. with a lot of groups when they write their own history. And so, but what I'll do is
so
I'll say,
what must you do?
What must you do to have your sins forgiven? And he's not going to be able to give you any assurance, only hope. Now, one of the things I'll do at this point is after I've talked to a Muslim and say, well, are you good enough? Have you been good enough? You think you've been good enough? Wow. And things like this. I'll talk to him like this for a while. And yeah. I'll say, well, I'm a Christian, and my salvation is not dependent upon my goodness, but upon the goodness of Christ. And so if I put my trust in what he has done, then I can have my sins forgiven because I'm trusting in his sacrifice. Why should I give up what I have now, assurance of salvation in what Jesus has done, for what you have, which is no assurance based on your goodness? Why should I give it up?
Yeah.
Okay?
Yeah.
Now, here's something else. Here's something else to think of. There's two things. The unrighteous judge is an analogy I've developed for witnessing to Muslims. It's something I've done. Also, this, and I'll say, will your God... I ask him, will your God accept your sincerity? I mean, let's say you're really sincere. Mm. You really are sincere, and you're really trying to repent, and it says Allah is most merciful. Will he accept your repentance and your sincerity of heart as potentially there as a way to be forgiven of your sins? And he'll say, yeah. Well, yes.
That's good. Wow.
And I'll say, in Christianity, that doesn't work. In Christianity, God does not accept our repentance and our sincerity as a means by which your sins are forgiven. Because sincerity and repentance are human efforts. And we're never sincere enough because we're never pure enough. And our repentance is never perfect enough because we're sinners by nature. And so even though cults will say your repentance and your goodness contribute to salvation with God, it's not so with Christianity. In Christianity, God is so holy that he will not accept the sin-stained repentance and sincerity, that there has to be another means to cleanse us of our sins. That's through Jesus Christ. And we have to have him.
Okay.
But your God will accept your sin-stained repentance. Our God won't, which God is more holy. I ask him that.
Wow.
Now, when we get back, I'll share one more with you, okay? When we get back,
I'll
share one more.
I'll hold on.
All right. Thanks. Hey, folks, we'll be right back after these messages. Please, please, please stay tuned. We'll be right back.
It's Matt Slick Live, taking your calls at 877-207-2276. Here's Matt Slick.
Everybody, welcome back to the show. Buskman, are you there?
I am still here, Matt.
Okay, now, I'm going to tell you, you don't have to write these down because they're already written on my website, and I can tell you where to go to get them. And I'll give you two
awesome.
More. So just go to carm.org/CUT, cut. It's for cut and paste. And it'll take you to a page, go down to the Islam, and then it'll open up, go down to the bottom. Okay? And you'll see important points. And so these are things I've written. These are things I use with Muslims. So let me give you another one. All right. And I'll give you two more, actually. So Jesus said in John 15:13, greater love has no one than this, but he lay his life down for his friends.
You can talk to your friends. Yes.
Okay. You can talk to your buddy and say, this is what Jesus says. Do you agree that that's true? And they'll say, well, yeah. It calls him Esau. That's Jesus, Esau.
Yep.
So, Esau said that. Okay, so it's true. All right. Well, in our view, Jesus died on the cross. Now, in Surah 4, 157, Jesus was not crucified, but Allah made someone look like Jesus to be crucified.
He's already talked to me about that, Matt. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, that means Allah's a deceiver, because it means Allah made someone who wasn't Jesus look like Jesus to cause people to think he was crucified, which means Allah deceived people by his own direct hand.
Great point. Matt. Wow.
So
that's powerful. Okay, go ahead.
So that's really important, okay? Really important. And I say, why should I trust Allah if he is a deceiver?
Wow.
Okay?
That is such a great comeback. Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
Now,
proceed.
So the greatest act of love is to lay one's life down for his friend. So in Christianity, Jesus laid his life down for his friend. Now, you say Jesus is nothing more than a prophet. But if Jesus laid down his life for others, which is what the Bible says, not what the Quran says, it came 600 years later, then isn't it true from your perspective that a creature outdid God? Because God can't lay his life down for his friend, can he?
Wow, Matt.
Okay. All right.
Wow.
And here's one more, all right? And I'll say, let's pretend that there's a man, and this man is evil. This man is murdered, and he, I won't say some other words on the air, but he's done all kinds of stuff, kidnapping, extortion, murder, bank robberies, he's tortured people to death, et cetera, et cetera. There's video, there's hundreds of witnesses, and the guy's caught, he's on trial. He's on trial. And there's no doubt whatsoever he's guilty. No doubt. He even admits he's guilty. Everybody knows he's guilty. And the judge is going to now sentence him. He's found guilty of everything. And the judge, who's supposed to uphold the law, the judge says, forget about it. You're free. Go ahead. I've asked Muslims this. I say, so is that a good judge or a bad judge? And they'll say, well, it's a bad judge. I say, well, why? Well, he's bad because he didn't obey the law. He didn't, punish, he deserved to be punished, right? And so the guy gets away with doing evil, right? And the judge ignored the law, right? The law says to punish him, right? He ignored it, so he's a bad judge. I said, that's right. Now, let's look at Allah. In order for Allah to forgive, doesn't he have to just ignore his own law? Just have to ignore it. He puts his own law aside and says, you're free, you're forgiven. But you are guilty before God. And he just ignores his own law. Now, I'll tell you, in Christianity, he became one under the law and fulfilled that law. And he took our place so that the law is satisfied. So in our understanding, the law of God is satisfied in Christ, but in yours, the law of God is not satisfied, which God is righteous.
Wow. Wow, okay. Matt. That's
all right.
The last, and all this is on your points on your website.
Yeah.
Great.
And
this
ask
will be
him
my
about.
Last question.
Okay, go ahead.
Yeah.
I got all these I can tell you, but go ahead. We got a lot of callers.
Yes. I'm going to go to your website. After I was praying for my friend Saeed, I sometimes get impressions that I believe are from our Father. And I think this one was, Matt, because it was just the resounding word love. So I want to ask you, my brother, that knows more about Islam than I do. Is love talked about in the Quran?
Yes. Yes,
it is.
Absolutely.
Okay.
Yeah, God
context,
has never said,
Matt?
There are 99 names of God, but God is, Allah is never called love. They say he's merciful and he's kind.
So that's not his name in Islam.
Right.
Like never. We know from 1 John.
1 John 4:8. That's correct. But here's the thing.
Wow.
And another thing you could say is it loving to sacrifice yourself for someone? Yes. In Christianity, that's what God did in the person of Christ. And they'll say, well, God can't become flesh. See, is not the Quran, according to your understanding, is not the divine word in paper? Yes.
Yeah.
Could we say it's the divine word? Could we say it's a divine word, so to speak, in flesh, in paper? Yes. Why can't God, the divine word, become a man?
Become a man, yes.
Okay. And do what we could not.
So
we depend on him. We rely on him. You don't. You rely on something else from someone who came along a lot later and who taught in Surah 157 that Allah is a deceiver.
Yes.
And then don't forget this. One last thing. Ask him. Ask him this. Where's a man's seed formed in his body?
Where is a man's seed formed in his body?
Don't say the answer because, it might be children listening. Well, if you go to Surah 86, 5 through 7, now let man but think from what he is created. He's created from a drop emitted proceeding from between the backbone and the ribs. That's the chest.
That's not even close to the region.
That's right. And so this, the Quran says that a man's seed comes from his chest.
Wow.
Now, if one thing in the Quran is false, then Islam is false. That's what they say.
The whole thing is.
That's right. If there's any discrepancy, wow, I think it's...
Wow, Matt. Is that point in your notes as well?
Awesome. I've written over 100 articles on Islam. In fact, I'll be debating a Muslim in a week or so, Shabir Ali, and he's a well-known Muslim.
Will you be recording it to where I can watch that?
Of course. Oh, yeah. It's awesome. Somebody else's network and stuff like that. But, yeah. Uh-huh.
Okay.
We'll be discussing
the
Trinity.
You'll have it on your site.
Probably. Yeah. Okay.
Okay.
All right, buddy. There's a lot more there.
I don't know when I'm going to run into my dear friend again, but I got a feeling that our Father is going to bring us together again.
Amen.
We have a...
Okay.
Brother, thank you so much. I can sense more empowerment, the love on my dear friend Saeed, and hopefully...
Right.
He and his family will be saved, as our scriptures say, and I'm standing
Amen.
On 1 Timothy 2:4-5. God wants all Good. Men to be saved and come to a knowledge of the truth.
All right. Well, God bless, buddy. Keep up the good work, okay?
Thanks so much, Matt. Have a great evening, sir.
You too. Okay. All right. Let's jump over to Dave from Salt Lake City, whom we lost. Why do you think the righteous will be here during the tribulation? Oh, call back, please. And I would love to talk about that. We'll get you up in the front of the line. All right, let's get to Dave from Indiana. Dave, welcome. You're on the air.
Hey, Matt. I'm a big, huge fan of yours. I've got a question for you in regards to church membership. I'm looking to become a church member of a local church for me. But one of the deacons believes that that you can lose your salvation. I don't think you can lose salvation. How would you deal with that situation?
Well, when people tell me they can lose their salvation, there are several things I can do, but one of them I'll do is, okay, what things have you got to do to keep yourself right with God?
Right.
And ask him for, say, can you give me two or three things? And he might say, well, you got to continue to believe. Okay, so I ask him, do you take credit for your believing?
Right.
Now this is a confusing question, because they're going to say yes. Well, of course I
right.
do. Well, why does the Bible say God grants that you believe, Philippians 1:29?
Right, right.
So even the believing that we have needs to be God needs to be center of that. He's glorified, and yet you're taking credit for what God has done in you.
Right. I mean, I mean, here's the thing. I think the pastor and the other deacons, I think, are generally kind of more reformed, even though they don't overtly mention that, because I think they don't want to offend anybody who's not reformed.
Offend anybody. That's why. When you don't offend anybody, then there's no truth. Yeah.
That's true.
Yeah. So that's what I'd ask him, and ask him if he's doing those things that he says you need to do to keep yourself right with the infinitely holy God, and then ask him, so are you saying that you keep yourself right with God by your effort?
Right.
And then that's the conversation you need to have, all right? Now, would you like some scripture?
Yes,
I'll give you some scripture. After the break, I'll show you some scripture about not losing your salvation. Okay. Hey, folks, two open lines. Give me a call if you want. And we'll be right back after these messages. Please stay tuned.
Matt Slick Live, taking your calls at 877-207-2276. Here's Matt Slick.
All right, everybody, welcome back to the show. I'm kind of chuckling because of our conversation and chat we're having in there. We have a good time there. If you're ever interested in joining us, you can go to Facebook, Carm Facebook, and you can join in there and chat and stuff like that, or YouTube. And we have a good time. All right, let's get back to, okay, Dave from Indiana. All right, Dave, you there?
Yes, sir.
I didn't hear you. Are you there, Dave?
Yeah, can you hear me?
Oh, okay, yeah, not good. Turn the thing up. All right, John 6, 37 through 40. And this is very important. And I tie it with John 8, 29. Jesus says in John 8, 29, "And he who sent me is with me. He has not left me alone, for I always do the things that are pleasing to him." Jesus says in John 8, 29, that he always does what's pleasing to the Father. And I'd ask your friend, do you agree with that? And he goes, well, of course. Good. Now go to John 6, 37. "All that the Father gives me will come to me, and the one who comes to me I certainly will not cast out. For I have come down from heaven not to do my own will, but the will of him who sent me." Remember, Jesus always does the will of the Father. So he came down from heaven to do the will of the Father. "This is the will of him who sent me, that of all that he's given me, I lose nothing, but I raise it up on the last day. For this is the will of my Father, that everyone who beholds the Son and believes in him will have eternal life, and I myself will raise him up on the last day." So the will of the Father is that Jesus not lose anybody. Now I ask him, can Jesus lose anybody?
Right.
If he says yes, he denies Scripture. He denies Christ. If he says, and this is what they'll do, they'll go, well, you could lose yourself. And I love that, because it's a non sequitur. And I say, pay attention to the text. The will is that Jesus not fail to do the will of the Father. The will of the Father is that Jesus lose none. And then he'll raise him up. And it says, and the one who believes, well, he will raise up. So this means that the believers can't be lost, because the will is of the Father that everyone who believes will be raised up. And if they believe, it's because God granted that they believe, Philippians 1:29. So can they be lost? The answer is no.
Right.
And there's another way I could prove it to you from Scripture, but that's pretty good.
Yeah.
Okay.
That's absolutely great. I have one comment. I know you're short on time. Real quick.
Sure.
So, in my kind of estimation, there's kind of two types of Arminians. You've got the Arminians who believe that they can lose their salvation.
Right.
And some believe that they can't lose their salvation. Now, wouldn't you agree that the people who believe that you can lose your salvation is almost blasphemous in itself? Does that make sense?
Depends. Because the Lutheran position is you can lose your salvation, but it's very, very difficult to do, in that you need to lose your salvation. You need to openly, consistently reject. And they say you can lose your salvation.
Okay.
That's still problematic, because when you go to Colossians 2:14, it says he canceled out our sin debt, the certificate of debt, at the cross. It's not canceled when you believe. It's not canceled when you get baptized. It's canceled at the cross. That's what it says. If it's canceled at the cross, then who's it canceled for? Well, it can only be canceled for those who are going to heaven. It can't be canceled for everybody, because people go to hell. You can't go to hell for a sin debt that's canceled. It just, you know, it's just not possible. So if they're going to say that you can be truly saved and then lose your salvation, then did Jesus cancel all of your sin debt?
They're
going to say, no, he didn't. But the Bible says he forgave all of our transgressions, having canceled the certificate of debt. Colossians 2:13-14. Jesus doesn't make any mistakes. God doesn't make any mistakes. And 1 John 2:19 says they were not from us because they never were of us. If they had been of us, they would have remained.
Right.
So,
I think he would probably mention Demas, you know, having loved this present world, to have mentioned someone like him. But with him, he was never a believer to begin with, wasn't he?
John 6. John 6, I think it's right around, let's see, John 6, where is it? Who that was from the beginning? Oh, yeah, verse 64. "But there are some of you who do not believe, for Jesus knew from the beginning who they were who did not believe and who it was who would betray him." John 6, 64.
Right.
Okay.
Perfect.
And if they go to Hebrews 6, 4 through 6, you know, "Those who once been enlightened tasted the heavenly gift, they fall away, they can never be renewed again to repentance." Well, that means then, if they teach that is something you can do to lose your salvation, that verse shows it, well, then it means they can never come back. And you ask them, have there been people who've lost their salvation, ever come back and been saved? He would have to say no. But if he does say violates Hebrews 6. And plus, Hebrews 6 is not talking about believers. It's talking about the Jews who covenantally had experienced the truth of the Messiah, and they rejected it. And they can't be renewed to repentance because there's no more sacrifice. That's what he's talking about in Hebrews 10:27 or 10:26.
Right.
All right. Okay?
Matt, that's perfect. Thank you for your time. Thank you.
All right, man. God bless. All right, let's get on the phones with, waiting a long time, Marine from Ohio. Hey, we've been waiting a half hour. All right, you're on the air.
Hi.
Hi. So what do you got?
Well, I called in because I caught her just no longer. You mentioned that.
I can hardly hear you, and I have you turned way up, so go ahead.
Well, you mentioned, you know, the jab.
The jab,
and the censorship.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And, yeah, I wanted to get your viewpoint on what do you feel the whole purpose of this huge push?
To, control.
Vaccinate the world, yes. To vaccinate the world.
Yeah, it's control. You see, there's a movement towards a new world order, a one world government.
Yeah, and I know all about that.
Right. And so this is what's prophesied in the scriptures. So the people, this is kind of it's a melding of a lot of things. So the people in the government, the leftists, are moving us more towards socialism. And socialism is a self-perpetuating bureaucracy that is like a vampire that sucks the life out of an economy. And this is because it passes more laws to strengthen its own socialistic view, which is inhabited by a bureaucratic group of people. And the bureaucracy grows bigger and bigger because they tax people and they slow the economy down and they take the means of production and distribution under their own control. Now, this cannot thrive in Christianity because socialism is unbiblical. But people want security, and in their desperation, as things get worse, caused by socialistic ideology, they'll then listen to the empty promises of the left. Now, in Marxist practice, you have to have the proletariat and the bourgeoisie. You have to have a division which causes the society to be unstable. And then they come in and they bring more instability. And if they get in power, they promote more instability. And then because of this, there are shortages and problems. And so then they increase their laws and their own presence in order to get control. They want control markers inside of society. And control markers are masks and other things that they want you to do. Now, from what I've understood about the vaccines, when vaccines have a certain number of deaths per thousand, they take the vaccines off the market. It has been far exceeded in the COVID, and yet they're hiding information about the deaths associated with it. I'm not saying don't take the jab. If you want to take it, take it. Just know the risks. But the fact is, as the research I've seen, that people are dying from it. Their pregnancies have been terminated. People are having shakes. There's males having heart problems because of it. I've heard doctors say, I heard in person, doctors say that there are cancer patients he's had who are in remission. They get the jab, and then within 2 to 3 weeks, their symptoms of cancer are back. It's reactivated.
Yeah.
He says this has been happening more and more. Yeah.
Uh-huh.
So it's control. They want control.
I agree with everything you're saying. I've been looking into a lot of stuff. What I see, I see this as more than, just New World Order and the rich wanting to get richer and control society. I'm seeing spiritual wickedness at work.
Ephesians 6:12. We wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against powers and principalities of darkness. We have to understand the ultimate goal here is of the enemy of the gospel to destroy the presentation of the gospel. And so think about this, with the chaos, with the problems and the shortages that are occurring, and more is coming, because I've just been hearing about how Bill Gates owns a lot of land, and he's, and they're plowing fields of food underground, causing it's going to be shortages. And I'm already seeing shortages in the stores that I go to locally. Well, this causes more problems. Now, the left has promoted disorder in defunding the police and letting cities burn. And yet, well, we're getting this up. So the solution in socialism is the federalization of the police, to make the police not local. That way they're answerable to themselves, not to the federal control, but they want to gain control. And this is what part is going on. It's an issue of control. I see it because it's the same thing the cults do. The cults work, Mormons, Jehovah's Witnesses, even Roman Catholicism works this way, to have control over its people, where stability and safety is in the hands of the oligarchy, of the powers that be above, away from Christ. Okay?
Yeah, so for Christians in particular,
mm-hmm.
to see beyond the lies and the deception.
Mm-hmm.
What is your advice to
advice to Christians? Okay. Is this: you pray for your own repentance before God, and you pray for the repentance in your family, and in your church, and in society, and you pray for the people, because repentance begins with the house of God. God is allowing this plague of unrighteousness and oppression to occur in America because the church has largely failed to do what it's supposed to do. And so I would also, in this, start preparing, do research on where you can invest, gold, silver, things like that, you know, that are basically inflation resistant. And, you know, get some supplies and just prepare. This is wise. Proverbs talks about being prepared and storing up things. It's not conspiratorial. It's not reactionary. It's not wacko. It's just biblical. And so I would suggest people do that.
Right. And be like Noah.
Yeah. Just prepare. That's all.
That's what I've been telling people, you know, through my work, you know, there are shortages, and it's getting worse.
Yep.
And so, yeah, I was interested to, you know, hear your advice on what us Christians need to do to keep strong.
That's right. Be strong. Keep your eyes on Jesus. And we got to go. Darn it. Okay? Got to go. Sorry about that. Hey, Lauren from Salt Lake City, sorry we didn't get to you. Waited an awful long time, 39 minutes. Please call back tomorrow. We'll get to you, okay? I apologize for that. May the Lord bless you all, and by His grace, folks, we'll be back on the air tomorrow, hopefully, and we'll talk to you then. God bless. Bye.
Another program powered by the Truth Network.